All you had to do was just say, get a little, I can get loud enough, I promise, without it, but it's a lot easier with it. So thank you, and I'm sorry. We've been looking for weeks and weeks and weeks at the Beatitudes, at the lifestyle that Jesus wants us to live. And when I say us, I'm talking about his disciples. I'm talking about true Christians. Mere religious people, mere church members have no inclination, no clue. The spiritual depth that we're talking about when we preach about the Beatitudes. It really is just over their head because they're spiritually, they cannot connect with the depth of this teaching that Jesus wants us to live out. The Beatitudes are more than just a command or an option. Really, they're a lifestyle that Jesus wants you and I, as his followers, to demonstrate, and the depth of the spiritualness that they are and that he intended them to be. This morning, we address probably my favorite beatitude. If I were to survey the congregation this morning, and let me just go ahead and read it, and then I'll ask that question. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So, when we talk about peacemakers, if I were to survey the congregation this morning, and if I were to ask you to raise your hand, and how many of you believe that when we talk about peacemaking, that it's talking about the relationship between men, between mankind? That's what this verse is talking about. That we're to get along with people. We're not to be quarrelsome. We're not to be bitter. And we talked about this morning even hating our brothers in Sunday school and so forth. And that in part is part of the meaning. But guys, this beatitude goes much deeper than that. And I want to share with you the reality that I think that is really a true characteristic of a true child of God. This morning when we looked at 1 John chapter 2, we read about how that the darkness is fading, but how the light was already shining through. God is changing us. And maybe you're not quite to the point that you're totally living out this beatitude. But my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is the fact that this beatitude becomes so life-altering that this is the motive why we sing and worship, why we reach out to extend a helping hand. And so, I honestly believe that when we get done this morning, your view on peacemaking will have a whole different outlook than maybe what you would have taken this to be to begin with. Now, let's look at the meaning in the New Testament. The Greek word translated peacemaker is used one time in the Scripture. And you would think that a theme of peacemaking, the way that I'm going to present it, which I honestly believe my convictions are, is totally biblical and has been driven by the Spirit of God as truth, that there would be many more times that this word peacemakers has been used or would have been used. Now, make no mistake, just because the term peacemaker is not used verbatim does not mean that the teaching of the word isn't used throughout the entirety of Scripture. Okay? So make no mistake, just because it's not used as many times as grace is, that it's not as impactful. Or the idea of loving someone. It's not used as many times as that, but it should have just as much of an impact. And so, to be a peacemaker, Colossians 1:18 through 22 says, He is also the head of the body, the church. And He, talking about Jesus, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Now, guys, I'm showing you the root. Okay? Showing you the root here of peacemaking. Verse 19, For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Or the New American Standard says, His cross. And although you were previously alienated and hostile in attitude, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His body of flesh through death, in order to present you before Him, God the Father, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. So, when we think about peacemaking, or talk about peacemakers, why did I read then Colossians? For the simple reason is that Jesus is the one that has brought us to be able to have peace with God. And we look at the meaning of this idea of peacemaker, it really means to bring peace between God and man. That's the first meaning. That's the most important aspect when you and I, as God's children, when we think about blessed. So we're happy, we're spiritually content, we're authentic, if you will, as being blessed. That we are bringing peace between God and man. Now, you've heard me say before that as a Christian, you cannot convince, convert, or convict anyone. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? However, the fact of the matter is God chose mankind with the privilege of taking the good news of the gospel to other mankind. You and I have the privilege. You and I have the power, if we make it a priority, to where we can be an instrument of God, a vessel, the avenue to which God brings peace between Him and someone else. Why do you say that? Well, I want you to look again. Listen to Colossians 1, verse 21. He says, although you were previously, that's past tense, which means you're no longer there. As a child of God, you are no longer alienated from God. You are no longer hostile with God. You are no longer an enemy of God. But now you are a child of God, which means you're an heir to heaven. And all that God has, and all that God will, He has chosen you with the privilege of taking the gospel to others who are alienated and ostracized and have no idea the depth of God's love, the extent of His grace, the length of His mercy, and the depth of His long-suffering and patience. If all this is alien to you, and you're thinking, Brother Rick, what is all this? guys, you and I need to talk. In all honesty, I would never belittle you. I'd never embarrass you. I'd never call you out. But guys, for a true child of God, this concept and this idea should not be oblivious. This should be common because we understand that I am no longer what I once was. I may not be what I ought to be or what I want to be, but I know I'm not what I once was.
Amen.
Why? Because now I've been reconciled by my high priest. And my high priest isn't a Catholic priest, but it's the very Son of God Himself who died on the cross. So what are we talking about when we talk about peacemaker? And how are you and I to be peacemakers? We are to be, again, the meaning, to bring peace between God and man, but also to bring peace between men. Doc, I don't think it's by coincidence that this morning that the Sunday school lesson coincided with this very idea of being at peace with one another. Now, guys, I'm nearly a perfect little gentleman. You all know that, and I don't know why everybody don't love Rick. But I know not everybody loves Rick. But it's their fault, not mine. I mean, come on. What's not to love, right? You got to love it, guys. You got to love it. It's okay to laugh, and it's good to laugh at me. God knows I need that. It's okay. Guess what? Personalities clash. Just because I may not rub shoulders with someone doesn't mean I, as Laura put it, mean them ill will. And sometimes, as Doc puts it, that we pray that God would get their attention. Whatever means. And as Marcia said, how sweetly, God, whatever it takes, get a hold of that person. Guys, that should be our attitude. Because the vast majority of your family, maybe, but certainly probably a vast majority of your co-workers and your neighbors, chances are they're probably alienated from God. In all honesty, what's the population of Russell County? Have I asked that before? 17,000? Just a little less than Wayne County, which is about 21 or 22,000. But Russell County is no different than the surrounding counties in the area. Probably less than 10% are in church this morning somewhere. Can you imagine just 1,700 people? Guys, that ought to alarm us. Now, I'm not saying everybody that isn't in church is lost. That's not my point. But probably the vast majority, it doesn't even click with them. You know what? This life isn't really about this life. This life is in preparation for the next step in my eternity. And the privilege of it all is that sometimes when personalities clash, sometimes that's an open door that God uses to introduce the gospel to someone. And I've had that happen just a couple times, Doc. Necessarily with people, I thought, you know what? That's got to be the most arrogant, self-centered man or woman that I know. And then God reminds me, you know what, Rick? They probably think that about you too. And then I think, I probably take resemblance to those remarks. But that's okay. But I've had God a few times bring me and people like that together to where we see that, you know what, even though two bulls will butt heads, sometimes they can cohabitate the same pastor. And that's where we have to get to, guys. to be a peacemaker. It means to reconcile differences. It means to silence tongues and to build right relationships. Now, the key to all that is this. If I'm not right with God, how can I be right with anybody else? If you're not walking in fellowship with God as a child of God, you're most miserable of all men. At least the lost in the world, they may not even know they're lost. They may not even give it a second thought. But if you're a true child of God and you're out of the wheel or you're out of fellowship, you're living life your way, you're throwing everything that God wants at you or for you to the back, and you're compartmentalizing everything just so you can Burger King it. You know, have it your way. Then you know it. And if you can live life any way you choose, absent from the will of God, you may not be a true child of God. Now, guys, I'm not trying to stand here and cast doubt in anybody's mind. But I want you to understand, as a true child of God, you are no longer alienated from God. You have been bought with a price, and that price is the precious blood of Jesus, who died on a cross, who took your stripes and your beating, your humiliation, and your nails, and your death. He took, and He gave you salvation as a free gift. And so the Scripture says, we were bought with a price, so we are no longer our own. We now are citizens of a kingdom that this world can't understand or comprehend, even begin to conceive. And you and I struggle at best. But glory be to God, His Spirit continually leads us to where we long for more and more and more, or at least I hope you do. But one thing I understand is the fact that when we think about living as kingdom citizens in this world, because this isn't our home, this isn't who we are, this isn't where we belong. We've been adopted into the family of God as children of God. Then we understand that our first priority should be to make people understand. Let me rephrase that. To help people understand. We can't make anybody do anything, but to help people understand. Unless they've given their heart and their life to God, they're not a child of God. Catholicism will tell you that we're all children of God. That's unbiblical, guys. I'm not trying to negate or badmouth Catholicism, because as Baptists, we're not all Christian. We don't have everything right, I'm sure. But you know what? I honestly believe that Catholicism has that aspect wrong. Because the Scripture says that it's our faith in Jesus that gives us the ability to become the children of God. We're all the creation of God. And God has given us our soul. And we all have eternal life. But for you and I that are truly born again citizens of heaven, sojourning in this land, longing for home, just as your parents, Miss Laura, already there. Well, I know my mom is. I don't know about my dad. I wonder, but it's not for me to judge. but I've got uncles, and two in particular that treated me like their own sons. When my own dad was killed when I was 12, I know they're in heaven. And I know they'll be waiting. But you know what? It's not enough just for me to know that I'm going. And when I truly get right with God, now I'm not talking about just in a right relationship. I'm talking about where I'm walking daily in the fellowship of God. His fellowship leads me to prioritize to where I want this for all people. Because the more time I spend walking with God, the more I love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. And so, where do you stand this morning? Did you ever think that you are called to be a peacemaker? To help bring reconciliation first to God and man. And when I'm a true child of God, it's much easier to reconcile when I have problems with other men or other people, let me say. But when I'm not walking hand in hand with God, then all of a sudden it's all about me. And I become very vengeful. And I can become very arrogant. And I can become so self-centered that I'm going to force my will, period. And you think, oh, come on now, Brother Rick, you've never lived like that. Don't ask Diane, she'll tell you the truth. Guys, we all get there. We've all been there. But I know over the course of the last 30 years, I don't ever want to be there again. Amen. So the more I focus on my relationship with God or my fellowship with God, the relationship's there, but the more I walk hand in hand with God, the more I want other people to walk hand in hand with God. And anything less is not an option. Now, does that mean that you're going to always witness to those that God wants you to? No, not at all. Don't go there. Don't allow Satan to beat you up like that. But the fact of the matter is, we're more apt to do it when we walk with God hand in hand. So consider this. One can only be a true peacemaker when you or I are truly at peace with God ourselves. How can you offer peace if you're not experiencing peace? Be at peace. Whatever it takes. Dr. Roy Lucas, used to be professor of New Testament, Greek, and Hebrew at Clear Creek Baptist Bible College, where I attended years ago. He said, whatever causes you to stumble or to pull away from God, get rid of it. He said, if the radio consumes all your time and you don't read the Word of God, he said, get rid of the radio. If you're on the internet and you're looking at things that maybe you shouldn't be, get rid of the internet. He said, if you're holding down three or four jobs just so that you can have the extras in life, and you're not able to be in church, and you're not able to share your testimony with people, He said, then get rid of the extras to where you can be at peace with God. For it's far better to be at peace with God and have less than gain everything, yet lose everything in heaven. To be at peace. So maybe we can say the true idea of peacemaking is about spiritual reconciliation first, and then physical reconciliation second. But probably before even the beginning of this message, for many, I know at first I had it backward. I think, well, if I can't get along with man, how am I ever going to share with them? Well, the fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't get along with everybody, and yet he shared with everybody. And so, true peacemaking isn't about running from trouble, but it is about standing in the gap to end trouble and division. You say, well, Brother Rick, how do you know that? Where is the validity in the Scripture to back that up? Well, I'm glad you asked that. The second thought then, let's look at the mission of Jesus' ministry. And we'll determine that peacemaking is just that. It's standing in the gap to end trouble and division. Okay? In Romans 5, 1 through 11, the word says, therefore having been, again, past tense, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. Notice this, Miss Laura. And we celebrate in our tribulations. Boy, Rich, that's tough, isn't it? When your blood pressure's whoop, and you feel like you've been run over by a horse. It's hard to celebrate that. But without the test, as Brother Marshall so eloquently put Wednesday night during Bible study, without the test of life, we have no testimony. Without the test, do we really know the peace of God? So, notice, we celebrate in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. What's the root of peacemaking? I just read it. What's the root of Jesus' ministry? I just read it. Did you pick up on it? Did you catch it? Notice. Hope does not disappoint. But here it is. Here's the root. If you're going to become a peacemaker, here's the root. This is what you must build on, Doc. And this is where you were this morning in Sunday school. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. The more the love of God permeates our fellowship with God, the more at peace we are walking with God, and the more we want other people to have what we've got. He goes on to say then, verse 6, for while we were Notice, while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, that word justified just means that we have, it's the act by which God declares a sinner to be clean, to be forgiven, as if he had never sinned at all. That comes through the blood of Jesus. So how does peacemaking come? When God's love permeates our life, we understand the justification, and we want others to be there. He said, so God demonstrated his own love that Christ died for us, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, and guess what, guys? We were enemies. And James tells us in James chapter 4 that if you and I as God's children are friends with the world, we act like the enemy of the cross even today. How can we be peacemakers if we are acting like the enemies of the cross? Because it was God's love sent Jesus there to begin with so that we could be reconciled to God himself. And so, through the Spirit, we can experience the transcendency of God, where he will do through us what we can't do through ourselves, which means we can have the courage. He will bring to remembrance all that we have studied. He will encourage us, and he will walk with us, and he will carry us, and he will be with us, and he'll provide all that we need. God loves you to the point that he will never set you up to fail. Amen. God wants you not only to be at peace, but God wants to use you to bring peace. And it was Jesus' ministry and the mission of his ministry that enables us to do that. And so in verse 10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now received the reconciliation. No man can know the peace of God without first experiencing the atonement of the cross. Did you get that? No man can experience the peace of God without first experiencing the atonement of the cross. Why? Because until we have been atoned, until we have been justified, until we have received the free gift of salvation, we are the enemy of God. And we're at odds with God. And as an enemy, how can you be at peace with anyone? And so, the mission of the ministry of Jesus was to not only provide you and I as his adopted children, if you will, but also to enable us to have the ministry of reconciliation of the world to God. And so, as Jesus laid down his life to make peace between God and sinners. You and I, as kingdom citizens, we are to carry the message, God's message of peace to the entire world. And God delights in those who preach reconciliation and just how beautiful they are. In Isaiah 52, it says this, "Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore on that day I am the one who is speaking, here I am. How delightful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who announce peace, bring good news of happiness, who announce salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns." Amen. Now listen to verse 8. Listen! Your watchmen raise their voice. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Be cheerful. Shout joyfully together. You ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, and he has redeemed Jerusalem. Did you catch that? Watchmen. Happiness, shout, good news, announce peace, bring your delight. You shall see the Lord restores. Be cheerful and shout joyfully together. Notice all that's in that. How can we be there? How can we get there? How do we remain there? By continually being at peace with God ourselves. And unless, as a child of God, you're walking hand in hand with God on a daily basis, you don't have the peace of God. And I'm not trying to be cruel, guys. I'm really not. I'm just trying to share with you this idea that to be at peace, to promote peace, we must live in peace. And may I say, is there any sweeter place to be? Husband, you want to love your wife more than you do right now? Find the peace of God, and you'll love her with all your heart. You can't even begin to fathom the love that you can carry for her. Wife, you want your husband to be the man of God that he needs to be. Get at peace with God. Support him. Encourage him. And pray for him. And you'll be amazed at how your ministry and your support and your love will anoint him in such a way. Why? Because you're at peace yourself with God first. You've heard me say, and I'll say until all time, my wife and I have been together for 41 years, all the way through high school. She was 18 when we got married. I just barely turned 19. And I'm in love with her more today than I've ever been. Because I'm at peace with God. Because the peace of God enables me to love her the way God intends for a Christian man to love a Christian wife. See, this is far more reaching than just bringing peace between man and God. But even as a child of God, when I'm at peace with God, I can love people the way God intends for me to love people. Which means, you know what? I want them to experience the same thing. The third thing, very quickly, and I'm closing, I promise. So, we have seen the meaning. We have seen the mission of Jesus' ministry. So, what is our mission as the church? What I'm about to say, some of you may not agree with, but I can honestly say that it is only Jesus can, again, convince, convert, and change. But only the children of God can bring the peace of knowing God to others. Only the true child of God can bring the peace of knowing the peace of God to others. If you've never experienced the peace of God, how can you share with others what it is? So only the child of God knows the peace of God and knows about sharing it and how to experience it and what it's like to experience it. If your life's in turmoil, get right with God. If you're convicted, get right with God, and it'll bring you peace. I didn't say it'd bring you ease of life. I didn't say it would be absent of tribulation or test, but it'll bring you peace, won't it, Shauna? We've all been through those times, and that's okay. Because a person must have a real relationship with God before he or she can help anyone else to know God in the truest form. Blessed are the peacemakers. So this verse helps us to identify that those who bring the wonderful message of God, peace to the world, as Jesus calls them to, they are known and are called the children of God. My youngest daughter's son, Alan, has given me a compliment that I don't think he's really aware of, but I took it as a compliment, and I'm not bragging about this up to myself. But let me illustrate this point. When the scripture says that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, do you understand that how you live your life is a testimony of your relationship with Jesus? My son-in-law said, once a few years ago, he said, I can't help but believe that if anybody ends up in heaven, it'll be Rick. And I said, Alan, why would you say that? He said, because you take your walk with God seriously. And he said, I see a difference in you than a lot of other people that call themselves Christians. When we're at peace with God and we're helping others to be at peace with God and with other people. That's a characteristic of Jesus. And the Spirit indwells us and shines forth from us. And so our mission, found in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, in verse 18. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I've commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Church, let me ask you, have you experienced and are you maintaining the peace of God in your life even now? God will restore if you but ask. He's calling. Are you willing to answer? If you want peace, it's available. If you want to know that you're truly a child of God, it's available. You must seek it in order to obtain it. Father in heaven, as we come to a close of this message and come now to the invitation, I pray, Father, that you would help us. Help us to see the certainty and to experience the certainty of peace. And being at peace with you gives us the freedom to help others come before you seeking peace. I pray that is Liberty Baptist Church battles and keeps a good fight of faith, that you would continue to bless them, that you would honor their effort and be honored because of their faithfulness. Father, just bring everything together. We trust that you're going to do. Father, may it start, and it has to start with just the one, and then may it be contagious to the rest. To you be the honor and the glory, in Christ's name. Amen.